Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny audio number 505. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Oh, not a heck of a lot there, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, I've had quite the day, and despite an ailment that popped up, I was not planning on attending SmackDown Live tonight here in Columbus, Ohio. Although I have finally noticed, because they were at the University of Kentucky for Raw, if I'm not mistaken, I have fully noticed the pattern. If they're at the university's arena, because, oh, they were at the University of Nebraska the other week, too, like a few weeks ago. Yeah, if they're at the university's facility, they go with the university name. If they are elsewhere in the city, although I'm going to take a wild guess that Nebraska does not have a second arena just sitting about, 3 miles away from the other arena. but yeah, they call it Columbus when they're at Nationwide Arena, and then they call it the University of, the Ohio State University when they're at the Schottenstein Center here. So that was something that I finally, why do they call it Ohio State University? Because I didn't think I'd seen university call-outs other than Ohio State previously, but I'm not going to say litany, but at least the triumvirate of university call-outs here kind of made me finally figure out the pattern for the WWE. But yeah, we were not going to attend. We had other plans set up before I even had the chance to buy tickets to SmackDown. And this, yeah, I'm okay with not having gone to SmackDown. I'll just put it that way.
Oh. I don't blame you in the slightest. It was better than Raw. I'll give it that much, but it certainly had a lot of the same feeling, a lot of the same tropes, a lot of the same overdone tropes. I mean, WWE is just really bad right now. There's no life to anything really. I wouldn't have blamed them at all if they just decided to take 2 months off after WrestleMania. I mean, they've just got nothing of any real interest going on right now. I know last week's show was very negative. Sorry, yeah. Folks. This week's show is going to be pretty damn negative, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do about it because it is... You know, I think I even mentioned it last week, or maybe I just tweeted about it, that the in-ring product still is not the problem. But the stuff surrounding it is just... is not good, really.
Yeah, I mean, the in-ring product's not the problem, but it just feels like there's too much of it. You know, we're getting, on Raw and SmackDown, we're just getting these... 2-3 segment matches multiple times per show, and these matches that have no stakes, nothing on the line. They're not really moving forward any storylines. You know, it takes more than you know competent or better ring work to make an entertaining wrestling show. And right now, WWE is just not delivering in any of the other necessary categories.
Yeah, because I know that we talked about it last week, but it kind of ended up being a very similar situation where Aleister Black is one of the few guys that that has gotten some mic time, and it was just like, because if you thought last week's was Bray Wyatt mumble jumble. Word jumble, this week's was even more that. Like, I felt like he kind of had a point a little bit last week.
Well, you know what? I'll give him some credit for this week. At least he talked about about wrestling and winning matches. And so it wasn't just all mumbo jumbo, but is he a heel? Is he a face? What are his objectives? He's not going to be in Money in the Bank. He's not in the mix of anything right now. He's been on TV for months wrestling, so it's not like we're introducing a new character here. It's all kind of weird to me.
We're not introducing a new character, but we're kind of introducing a new character.
Yeah,
because I would.
What they should have done in the first place.
Well, I there's not just that, but I mean, is it me or is he leaning on kind of a heel end of things, or is that just kind of the way he was on NXT?
That definitely wasn't the way he was on NXT. I don't think. Once again, it was never really defined why he has like this gothic entrance, this gothic look. They never really explore that in NXT. And I guess they're trying to explore it here. So I mean, I'll certainly give them time to see what they have here. I mean, his segment was far from. The biggest problem on either show.
Oh, yeah, it was just something that I figured was worth a little talk, on the kind of at least trying to throw in some. Well, no, that was bad, so I can't really say as some positives, but. It was just something that when they double down on the same theme, there's not much you can do about it. And this was another one that I at least noticed with SmackDown. And now I'm just starting to think that it's definitely a time situation thing where the announcements for Money in the Bank for the women or on Raw, they all had segments, and the ones for SmackDown were just announced by the ring announcers. And that just, as much as I'm not a fan of everyone gets to state their claim and everyone insults everyone kind of a situation.
If I never see another promo like that again, I'll be a very happy man. Yeah,
but the
assembly line promo needs to go.
Yeah, I guess I at least like the end where the people appear so that you kind of get, you get something out of it. The people coming down to the ring. I guess you don't need to do that, but.
I mean, at least with what they did was they had Alexa Bliss handle the introductions. So there's an excuse for everyone to be coming down, and not everyone having their entrance music played. Everyone's already got their own microphone in hand. Like, I thought this was, if this was spontaneous, why does everyone have their own microphone? So this was definitely at least a better version of it, because at least it had a host introducing people who were supposed to be to be entering the scene at these times.
Oh, right. Yeah. That part did help. But I guess it's one of those things where, like, when Byron Saxton was announcing them, at least I remember him. Did he do the men's?
Yeah, he did the men's. The nameless new blonde girl interviewer did the rest of the women's after Bayley.
Oh.
And Mandy Rose, for that matter, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of those things that, I guess we're going to be getting into the bad stuff. Sonya Deville acting like she didn't know or wasn't told about being being left out of the Money in the Bank match was kind of weird. You know, it's always that weird, oh, I was told something and I'm going to wait until we're on camera to film it situation that the WWE, for whatever reason, loves. That it's just kind of bizarre. Like, you're telling me that they ride together all the time and they're together.
Well, they did explain it as Mandy did talk to Shane McMahon on her own.
Oh, I must have missed that part. But, well, it's still kind of shitty of her to lead on Sonya.
Well, she did offer her the spot first.
Yeah, and Sonya did. Yeah, I mean, I know that she's the lower of the two on the totem pole, but man, I guess at least have a match over it. But whatever, man. I guess I always feel like there's a better way to cover it. They did kind of cover as much ground as they could, as far as you know, covering their asses, as you pointed out. But yeah, I guess it's better than just making a weird informal announcement by someone who, like, I don't know what her name is.
I don't either.
So, eventually, I'm sure I'll figure it out. But, yeah, blonde woman just... Because, did they mention Bayley as one of the participants during her match with Becky Lynch?
Yes. Okay. That was mentioned, yes. And they had the briefcase hanging overhead.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those ones that... I've kind of said it for a while now. I've kind of liked the way Bayley's been.
Yeah,
for a while now.
Last couple, 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, I definitely have. And, you know, maybe having the briefcase hanging overhead and you know, maybe that's, maybe they're actually doing some foreshadowing. Yeah, you know, Bayley loses 2 weeks in a row, but, you know, she's, still fights hard. She's still in the mix. I mean, Charlotte. I mean, she was still out there. Charlotte attacked her again for a reason, I think.
Oh.
So she. It would not surprise me at all if Bayley wins Money in the Bank. I'm not gonna go as far as to say that she's currently my prediction, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was really. That was pretty close. The only thing I liked it. I really liked it on tonight's show, as well as Becky's segment with Lacey Evans was the only thing I really liked on Raw.
Yeah, the women are still running pretty decent. Yeah, I mean. It's so weird. Like, I guess it's one of those things where I went from really enjoying Corey Graves to kind of being annoyed more times than not. I thought Becky Lynch kind of did a great job of kind of explaining her position on Raw as to why she's defending two belts. And it really is one of those things. It's just like, I guess he needs to make different points to me or something to kind of hype up her stupidity. Like, she's kind of laid it out, you know, like she's like, yeah, I know that this is a shitty spot to be in. But then again, like, whoever it was going to have to, it, you know, whoever won that match, whether it was her, Charlotte or Ronda, technically, someone was going to have to defend two belts because they decided to make it, you know, a winner takes all match.
Yeah. I definitely see the argument that Graves is going to the same well too many times, but that's WWE commentary. Again, commentary is definitely it's been part of the problem for years, a big part of the problem for years, as far as the presentation of WWE programming, and it's not getting any better.
I mean, like I said, Becky kind of laid everything out, and she's like, yeah, this was going to happen eventually, you know, I was going to have to defend two belts, and I'm just going to go for it. And I mean, it is kind of interesting that she is taking on Lacey Evans, who's the newcomer, so to speak, and, you know, an old stablemate in Charlotte. To me, it would make it way more fun to have her run at least more than one pay-per-view with two championships. But I could also see someone cashing in.
I'm veering towards that. That is a likelihood. I don't think that she will leave Money in the Bank with both championships. Yeah. So, you know, and of course having to be forced to defend the title of a third time, one of the titles a third time. I think that would be a good way to get one of them off of her. And then get her on one show permanently. I'm not even sure exactly which that would be. I, once again, of course, would like to see her, you know, get away from Charlotte.
Right.
For a, you know, quite a while. And so if she would stay on Raw, there'd be some stuff for her to do. And if and when Ronda Rousey ever does come back, you know, that, you know, that option is open as well. With you know, I guess Ronda still technically a Raw roster member. Although I guess those walls are down now. They're just doing whatever they want.
I don't want to call them walls at this point. They're a very low fence to pass. Yeah. There is a separation there. They seem to keep it up for the most part, or that people kind of obey the boundaries. But they just kind of move people around as they see fit, and it's still just weird with the women's tag team championships being on both shows, and then having, you know, a woman with two belts is your main female champion. Definitely, searching for here? It makes it seem like more people are hopping shows. But then again, I guess Shane McMahon is hopping shows now too. So.
Oh yeah, Shane's all over this TV. it's the Shane McMahon show now.
It's kind of getting bizarre, honestly.
Yeah, it is. He's in two different feuds. He's, you know, he's feuding with Miz. He's feuding with Roman Reigns. But he's obviously, you know, got surrogates to fight Roman Reigns for him while he's fighting Miz himself. So I guess it works in that regard. And I am glad that they didn't just drop the Shane Miz feud and that Miz can get this win back. if he didn't, man, that was going to kill him dead as a babyface.
Yeah, especially when you use it as one of your main talking points for the heels promo. Hey, you couldn't even defend your own father. It's just like, oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that, you know, Shane will take it right to the Miz, but he's afraid to fight Roman Reigns. It's just like, whenever they have ever done any kind of situation which puts any of the McMahons wrestling on an equal playing field with their opponents, it never works. It's especially as heels, it's really bad. It gets really bad. So yeah, I'm hoping that, Miz puts Shane away in this cage match at Money in the Bank.
I would hope so, and that he can concentrate. I would imagine that the Roman Reigns thing is kind of building towards a match at SummerSlam. But
Oh,
it's,
God. Oh, no. Oh.
don't you,
No, don't say it. Don't. No. Roman Reigns versus Shane McMahon is not, it's not something that needs to be put out in the universe.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there. That is my humble opinion that, since you got Money in the Bank set up currently, and I don't know what the next pay-per-view is, but I feel
Well,
like
they're
we have.
doing two in June. One of them will be in Saudi Arabia, and the other one is a show they're calling Stomping Grounds now, replacing the name Backlash.
Oh, you know what? I did see something about Stomping Ground. I'm like, I can't believe that I'm going to say that Backlash is a better name, but I'm going to go with it. Of course, they all kind of seem to have a very, all have a very similar tone to them.
Yeah, they do.
But yeah, I well, or maybe it happens at the Saudi Arabia show. Which, in all likelihood, like normal, is not really worth watching.
Yeah, no. Those shows, even though a lot of times they seem big on paper, nobody wants to be there. Nobody really puts in a great effort. There's jet lag issues and issues with a crowd that's not completely with the program. Yeah, those shows. I went out of my way to watch the first two shows there, and I don't think I'm going back for a third. At least not without I'm probably reading the results first, and then going back and seeing what might be worth watching. I honestly.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what the card is, but it's definitely one of those things that the timing of it always being, 'cause isn't it usually because it's Saturday evening there, it's Friday afternoon normally when it airs?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so
Or it airs Saturday afternoon?
it's like a 15-hour time difference, I believe.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's usually a Friday show at like noon. But I don't know if you've seen the news out of the MMA world tonight, but it is
Oh.
official that Brock Lesnar has announced his retirement from MMA. He will not be returning to UFC.
That is not entirely. I'm kind of surprised that he didn't go back at least for a payday or two.
Yeah, I'm shocked too. Slow surprise, but if it is true, what the public story is true, that Brock is the one who told them that he's not coming back, then I have to imagine he has already signed pen to paper for a new WWE deal.
Yeah, I did have to laugh that someone was trying to conflate him not being there with the WWE not doing well, and I'm like, he's only been gone for like 3 weeks. Like, he's not hurting the company that much, and he wasn't there to start with.
Right, yeah. But
Like,
at least, you know what? At least when he's around, it does feel like things happen. Although that was there was certainly in the last year or so diminishing returns in that regard. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of a deal he got, as they're running out of they're certainly running, at the very least, running out of first time ever opponents.
oh.
They've pretty much done a lot with him. They've really downplayed and diminished Lashley in the last six months or so. So I don't know if you really go there. You have Matt Riddle at NXT. They could do something with that with the UFC backgrounds, but yeah, there's just doesn't seem to be much that you can do with Brock anymore.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of his biggest problems. I guess if they keep on the trajectory that they have with Lars Sullivan, maybe you could put him on that list at some point.
Yeah, he possibly could. But yeah, I mean, even though Brock, his appearances are few and far between, I mean, it's still been, 7 years of him wrestling every top guy.
Well, and that was the one thing. I'm like, how long has he been back? And you just answered the question. Like, that's part of the reason why he's run out of opponents. I mean, it's been a while now. Even with his sporadic appearances, there are only so many top guys. And yeah, there's not anyone to me that's coming to mind.
There's an obvious rematch with Seth, which it wouldn't surprise me if they do that in Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
But I guess the question then is, does the cycle continue again with Brock getting the title back?
I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But oh man, yeah, I'm looking through the my Raw review here, and there really isn't anyone on the list. Like, I mean, Strowman's been done. I guess Drew McIntyre could be done. I don't feel like that's been a
McIntyre could be
few.
done. I mean, Braun could really use the win over Lesnar is for whatever it would still need, because that's the albatross hanging over Braun that he never beat Brock.
Yeah, agreed.
So yeah, you could still do something with that. Yeah, but yeah, it's still as far as like really big matches that haven't happened before yet. Yeah, we're few and far between.
So yeah, it's pretty thin because I mean there was always the Bray Wyatt feud that people talked about, but I guess it's kind of funny that all the Brock Lesnar feuds that we're bringing up are all heels. Lashley heel, McIntyre heel. Hey, Braun isn't, but again, that's more of a repeat than a
Yeah,
something new.
I
I
guess you
mean,
could
I suppose
Brock as a babyface could be something you could try. I mean, Brock on SmackDown, which that puts him and Roman Reigns in the same universe again. I don't know if really there's really anyone on SmackDown you really could. Again, it's the same issue. Who hasn't he faced before?
Oh yeah, and I don't want to see any more. Even though it's probably been well, more than half a year at this point. I don't want to see Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar again, really, for a little, for even longer.
Right.
But I guess that's a strong possibility with them moving to Fox. I mean, I would think that Roman Reigns being over there, and Charlotte, two of their bigger names, honestly. It's one of the few times, I feel like this shakeup is one of the few times where I'm like, oh man, Raw completely took all of SmackDown's names and didn't really, no one really got anyone in return. But AJ Styles for Roman Reigns, I think you'd look at it as it's a fairly even, if not lopsided for SmackDown, kind of a swap.
Right, yeah. No, so yeah, for that reason, for the Fox deal, I could see Brock, going to SmackDown, although once again, his appearances, unless they give him a really great deal, Brock's appearances on TV aren't going to be very often. I mean, that was kind of the thing with Ronda, is that she was, more than willing to do TV every week, and now she's gone, and I believe that, she was a big part of the Fox pitch. So again, this Fox deal is going to be very interesting to watch. With WWE ratings where they are right now, and then moving to a network, a broadcast network, that's, their Friday night lineup anchored by Last Man Standing is actually doing really well by certainly by at least by Friday night standards, by, you know, primetime standards in general. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
I have no idea what's on Fox on Friday nights.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of a weird deal that they promoted this new Friday night lineup, and then, you know, this new Friday night comedy lineup, and then but knowing that they're moving SmackDown in next, you know, the next year, but then the Friday night comedy lineup is actually doing better ratings than SmackDown. It's an interesting deal. I mean, there's certainly, I mean, as the television product has not been very interesting. The business as a whole to watch it is still going to be very interesting, because yeah, WWE has they might feel like they've got, you know, the next 5 years they're on easy street, but they do need to do something about these ratings, and they do need to do something about, you know, they do need to overhaul their television and how they do television.
Yeah, that whole talk of change is obviously was dead in the water not more than 2 weeks after they brought it up.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, the funny thing is, I do feel like there's been a change, but it's not really a good change. Because I keep on noticing them having people come to the ring, especially on Raw, and then have to wait like a segment plus to actually have their match.
That is so stupid. And when you're there live, it's even worse. I mean, they are literally standing there for what feels like forever, doing nothing, while whatever video plays on the screen. It is such a bad presentation.
So I mean, that's
both live and on TV. It just makes the show feel even more staged than it is, and unnecessarily. Like, you know, that everything is so planned out.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's bizarre to me. The one change they have made is a terrible change for the product in general.
This is where I don't understand how the modern television industry works. Just because they've signed a 5-year deal worth say $250 million a year, $1 billion in total, does that mean that Fox is on the hook for that money for all 5 years? There's nothing WWE can do to get themselves canceled. They can't, you know, there's no number that they can do that Fox can't kick them off their station and stop paying them.
That's a good question that I do not have an answer to.
Yeah, no, I have not seen the answer from anybody, not Meltzer or anybody. It's like, really, you're gonna agree to put on a show on for 5 years that you can't cancel? That seems like a really dumb idea.
Yes, it does. Even if, kind of getting back to what veered us off topic, talking about Brock, like, he could do a few more appearances, and I think it would help his cause quite a bit.
Yeah, that might be the only card they have left with him, and he has left to play, is agreeing to do more dates and agreeing to become more of a regular character on TV. Doesn't have to be every week. It probably shouldn't be every week, but
oh no,
maybe he should be on once a month, you know, and on every pay per view.
I think that it would be pretty reasonable to do once a month. You know, I don't think, to me, that's not too much to ask.
No, it really isn't. I mean, you could have Heyman there the other weeks. You could run video packages some weeks.
Make it work. And that's the other one. As much as they love video packages, I still don't understand, and I know I've brought it up before with you, like, why they don't show him just his training packages back in the day with him carrying around logs and everything was awesome. Why they don't do that or something similar to that now is just beyond me, you know? Like, they haven't had a video package like that in a long time. And, it again, it would be something that would keep him on people's mind and keep him, quote-unquote, on TV without, you know, without having to be there live.
Yeah, no, there's a number of things that they could do with that, yeah.
Well, we've been bouncing all over the place. I guess I'm trying to figure out where to head to next. As far as, was there anything on SmackDown that we haven't really covered? That happened tonight that was worth covering?
I mean, I guess what they're doing with Kevin Owens and Kofi, I mean, it's pretty basic, although in that Michael Cole interview with Kofi, they had to go with the hyperbole. They had to have Michael Cole say that Kofi winning was one of the greatest WrestleMania, was maybe the greatest WrestleMania moment of all time. Yep, in the middle of a 7-hour show with 3 hours left. It was a great moment, but, you do that when you're insecure. and can't just let the moment speak for itself. So, once again, another WWE problem. But yeah, nah. And once again, it's, you know, pretty basic babyface heel stuff. They're certainly using Xavier Woods as the whooping boy, you know, sidekick. Woods is not getting... certainly not getting any credibility here.
Oh, no. But I guess you don't really have... even if Big E was healthy, I don't think you really have much of an option. You know, like, I don't see Big E being the guy that takes the L's against... Although he might be able to, I suppose, to take an L or two against AJ Styles, good gravy, Kevin Owens. But I would think that, you know, Xavier Woods just tends to be the one to take the pins anyway, period. So I guess I'm not really surprised in that regard that he's the one taking the L's. So... and he's, I don't know, I guess I'd like to see him at some point as a singles wrestler, but, you know, what's he do, I guess, as a singles wrestler? They don't really seem to have a whole lot of faith in him, to be honest with you.
No, I mean, I guess they really don't. Not having Big E around definitely hurts them because they can't just kind of do their own thing in the tag team division. But yeah, I guess he's kind of stuck being Kofi's little buddy. And, you know, as they do this Kofi Kevin Owens feud, which, once again, nothing, I guess, this whole Kofi Kevin Owens deal is, you know, it was good, you know, it was, you know, fine. I don't want to say good, but, you know, it was perfectly acceptable babyface heel stuff to build towards a match. It's interesting that they went with the interview segment thing and not the obvious KO versus Xavier Woods singles match, which I assume we're going to get at some point in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, I would think so. They definitely played out the injuries that Woods had from the previous week, which is maybe one of the few highlights for the WWE recently. Anyone selling an injury is good by me.
Yeah, no, that was good. And they have done a pretty good job in the last, you know, since KO's, well, really from Owens' time on in NXT, is, you know, getting over that powerbomb on the apron as a real killer move that doesn't just win the match. It can put people out for some time. So and I like that he has a killer move like that as a killer. It really does help a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, though Woods made an appearance tonight, they definitely he got his ass kicked pretty quickly.
He definitely did.
You know, usually you get a little more, get to put up with a little, or get to show a little more fight when you're the guy that jumps someone. But Owens turned things around in a hurry. So yeah, again, good on them for actually selling a beatdown from the week prior. And you know, it's something that isn't done enough in the WWE. You know, there's always injuries, but you know, they just don't, to me, get sold enough. I guess we could move on to Raw, or at least some things on Raw. It was one of the few, to me, highlights of Raw, and it's bad that it was a highlight of Raw, the fact that Kushida is going to be on NXT this week.
that was a pretty good commercial. I'll give them that. It was a good commercial. Yeah, no, that should be... No, that should definitely be good. I'm looking forward to seeing Kushida's NXT debut.
So I had honestly kind of forgotten he was going to be on there, and I've really done a terrible job of keeping up with NXT since WrestleMania. But that's certainly something that I'm going to keep my eye on for this Wednesday, at least. I don't know if I'll play catch up in the I won't play catch up in the meantime, but I will probably tune in tomorrow so that Jeremy and I have something to talk about. But what else on the Raws? I guess if we're going to talk lowlights, it's right up the WWE's alley. But the shave your back stuff with the Revival.
Oh my god. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, that, I just, you know, once again, juvenile humor. I mean, wrestlers shave their bodies. Is anyone capable of shaving their own back?
No.
And getting it all?
No.
You gotta have somebody do it for you. That's why it's, yeah, it was really stupid. And filming, yes, because that's weirder than filming someone. That's weirder than filming your coworkers in the shower.
Yeah.
I didn't like a lot. I didn't like the entire presentation. I don't. I know they did the rap battle once on. They did the rap battle on an episode of SmackDown. That was a good segment, but I don't see the Usos as rappers. You know, doing the art truth entrance of their theme song. I did not like that at all.
Yeah, I guess I was okay with it, but it's weird to me when you hype an announcement by them. But you know, again, kind of good. It was in a slightly different situation, but they're like, oh, big news coming up from the Usos, and they rap on the way down. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I guess it didn't really bother me. It's not, I don't need them doing that every week, for sure, like you said, like in R-Truth. But, what was I gonna say? Oh, but then they had a match. Like, I don't understand why they didn't do that before the match. Like, it's so weird that they had, hyped up a segment, and I guess I didn't even expect them to wrestle at all. So that's what made the whole thing even weirder.
The whole thing was very weird. You know, they had a match with Anderson and Gallows, who are, man, are they just playing out to the end of their contract. That just, nothing really happening there. You know, Usos win, handily, and then they throw to this video, this really dumb video, once again, totally unnecessary, not funny, completely juvenile. Yeah, I absolutely hated it. I don't know anyone who liked it.
yeah, it's kind of one of those things where, now, speaking of that, and I know that I said his name earlier, Bray Wyatt, I get an odd feeling that the Firefly Funhouse is going to get more time because, evidently social media is, on top of it. But does the WWE realize that 99% of that talk is negative about the segment?
You're like one of the only negative voices about that.
Oh, really?
It's been mostly, at least, you know what, at least it's the only thing that WWE is producing right now that it shows any creativity at all.
I guess I just think a terrible knockoff of Pee-wee's Playhouse that, to me, isn't terribly coherent. Yeah, I guess I just don't think that's good. Like, I understand what the, I understand the references that they're going for. They kind of set it up that way. But I guess you kind of need to introduce the characters that are going to be on there, and they haven't done a very good job of that, or what their roles are on the show. Maybe it'll come out better as they do more of these vignettes.
I say so. I think that, obviously they're committed to this. They're going to keep going with it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's already turned the corner to being creepy that, he really isn't a changed man after all, is where it seems like all of this is going.
Yeah, when sociopath is your word, and I mean, I did think that it was a nice touch that the house burning was his painting.
That I liked. That was really good, and he just puts it up on the wall next to all this bright colors. Yeah, so I'm liking it. I'm liking it so far. I've seen, mostly positive feedback to it.
Okay.
At least give it a shot, because, it's not like Bray Wyatt coming back and doing what he was doing before was the answer either.
This is true. I guess I'll be interested to see how it ends up translating when he does get back to actually being in the ring.
Yeah, that will be the question. He does look in better shape. So hopefully he's got some new tricks up his sleeve. Hopefully they have a long-term planning in WWE is nowadays. Hopefully they do have a plan for how this is all going to fit together and how all these segments are going to lead to him returning to the ring and what kind of character he's going to play. But yeah, no, I'm certain, you know what, because as I said, it seems to be the only thing in WWE right now that's showing any creativity at all, for good or for bad. It is the only thing that is showing any creativity.
I cannot argue that point. It is certainly something that's out of the box for the WWE. But for someone, you know, I don't know how often I've heard, you know, announcers called out for making dated references. And just the fact that Pee-wee's Playhouse is like 30 years old and I was watching it when I was a child, well, or at least in a young teen, it's just like, there isn't something more kind of up to date that you can kind of rip off that would similar.
They don't do shows like that anymore. I mean, they don't do shows like Pee-wee's Playhouse or even Mr. Rogers anymore. Well, I mean, or Sesame Street's still on. So it takes some stuff from Pee-wee's Playhouse. It takes some stuff from Mr. Rogers. It takes some stuff from Sesame Street.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're trying to pull in the kids, you need to pull in references from the kids' shows, not from the parents' TV shows. But again, I guess that's just me being a fairly lonely negative Nelly about this whole thing, which is just completely fine by me.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm looking through this other stuff on Raw, and hoo-wee. I don't know that there's much more to go off of. Like, it's something that we didn't talk about with the back shaving. Although we did talk about it some last week, which was the Usos and the Revival are feuding, and they don't have the belts. And then having the Revival lose without any type of, you know, distraction by the Usos.
I thought the Usos were out there.
I don't think they were. Were they?
I'm positive they were.
Oh. Wow. I completely missed that part then.
I'm gonna have to go look at some results too, but
because I did not write anything about that, if that's what happened.
I fairly certainly did. It would make no sense if they didn't, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's why I was like, this is really bizarre. Because, you know, if there's not going to be anything at stake, I guess I'm okay with that. But kind of having them lose without, without anything is pretty weird to me. You know, without anything happening. Let's see.
Sorry, folks. As we
scroll through, I mean, I guess we could bounce to something about at least the Viking Raiders is a slightly better name than the Viking Experience. But I'm not sure that. Yeah. Whatever, man. That's so weird. Just all together. Why am I having a hard time spotting it on? Good lord, this is.
God, does anyone do a straightforward Raw results anymore?
No. I've been trying to figure out a new way to kind of come up with the column, to be completely honest with you.
Oh, okay. Something. This is no. There. That that's right. It was the surprise crucifix finish.
Yeah, like...
non-title match with two teams that aren't even feuding, yes, with each other currently, yeah. It was really weird.
Yeah, and, like, you're trying to hype up the Usos is, like... I mean, and they even brought it up during their match about possibly being one of the best tag team in WWE for the last decade. And why are they feuding with the team that almost constantly loses?
Yeah, I don't get it at all. I don't get why the joke team of Ryder and Hawkins is still tag team champions. Or why they won them in the first place, considering the fact that it's not like, you know, the New York crowd didn't exactly, the New York crowd of mostly tourists didn't exactly pop huge for the Hawkins and Ryder win.
It was because they did this the other time with Ryder, is that they just kind of gave him the title out of the blue. Well, there is more emotion behind that one, I would argue.
You know what? I actually did like that. I actually liked that title, and I actually felt a little bad for him when they took it away from him a day later and put it on Miz, although that also being the right decision as well. Mm-hmm. But this time, I mean, it's been 3 years. There was no sentimental, you know, push for Ryder and Hawkins to get the tag titles, and we're almost a month from WrestleMania, and they still have the titles, and there's better teams.
And they've barely been on TV at all.
They've barely been on TV. There's certainly better teams in the division. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
especially
with the Usos. And even as much as they're part of the Walking Dead, Gallows and Anderson. So, you know, just weirdness abounds in the WWE. Weird crucifix pin. That really, to me, does not help that feud in the least.
No.
And, I don't know, were you disappointed that this was not the week that Dominic Mysterio suffered the fate of the Coquina Clutch, or was that just me?
I thought it was possible that it was going to be this week, but, you know, Rey scoring the non-title win over Samoa Joe, to set up Joe being furiously angry. You know, maybe you do it the title match next week, or you know that maybe ends on a disqualification or something like that, with Dominic jumping in to try to help his father, and then he ends up in the choke. I think he needed the week, because they've, you know, the WrestleMania match was abrupt because of Rey's injury going into WrestleMania, and then they did all the shakeup stuff, so they really didn't. So it's been about a 3 week delay on getting this feud going. Back up and running. So I think you needed it, especially after Rey was absolutely destroyed at WrestleMania, and then lost again last week. So I think you needed to have Rey get at least the ninth title win over Samoa Joe first.
Yeah, to set everything up. Because they still have a couple of weeks, don't they? Until the pay-per-view, I think.
Yeah, and it's a weird deal because, as of now, Rey Mysterio is actually advertised for a Comic-Con appearance in Detroit on Money in the Bank weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. So, as of now, he is not booked to be on the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Oh, weird.
So they might do... They might do something of an injury angle to take him out maybe next week, or something where he's, you know, where they do the Dominic attack and raise off TV for a few weeks.
Oh, yeah, it's certainly something that. I didn't understand as much as I think Rey looks great at his age. the WWE wanting to pound certain wrestlers into the ground is a little bit of a head scratcher to me.
He's already suffered an ankle injury. He was definitely, I mean, he put so much into that series of matches with Andrade, and then kind of since then there was the couple of four ways they did for the U.S. title, and you know those were also excellent as well. So and then just like you know at Ray's age, he just can't do this night in and night out. And I also have I think heading into Money in the Bank, I believe there's also the European tour as well. And I would certainly advise against Ray wrestling 10 matches and 10 consecutive nights without a break.
Yeah. Because it was still a little bit weird, I guess, because it did make me think of another SmackDown thing, which was Jeff Hardy being out with injury. Because that's another older guy that they brought in, and it's just like, why do you guys think that these guys can wrestle the schedule that they wrestled in their 20s?
Right? But, no. It was definitely not a good idea. No, these guys can't do anything. It's good. They shouldn't be doing it, and really they can't. Something's gonna have to give. So yeah, they put Ray on a. You know, a few weeks on, a few weeks off, you know, a few weeks off, you know, 3 weeks on, 2 weeks off schedule or something of that sort, that probably would be the best for him.
Yeah, agreed. So, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens here. I mean, he could, I would say that he could pull off an early day Comic-Con appearance. Oh, hold on. Where's the pay-per-view?
Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh. Well, yeah, I think he could still pull off a day appearance and get a flight up there pending what flights are available. I would not think that would be any more than a two-hour flight.
Yeah. It's still possible. I mean to do a match with Samoa Joe, I mean, thankfully they didn't book Ray in the ladder match. That would have been a really, really stupid, careless move to do with the poor old guy. But a singles match with Joe to continue the feud would be fine.
Anything else to cover before we mosey on out of here?
I guess just kind of maybe the last thing is Seth Rollins and AJ Styles. It was. Everything I feared it would be. I mean, the physicality at the end was good, but man, there was no meat on the bone for their promos at all. You know, doing a babyface match, you know, so quick.
Yeah, that's one where having Styles bring back Gallows and Anderson, even if it's to run out their contract, would certainly help. To me, help him establish more of a heel persona.
Yeah,
again,
this thing definitely needs a heel. Though I don't know if it's gonna be. Though I don't know if you want to turn Styles heel if it's only gonna be a one pay per view thing.
Oh right.
That it can be a two because at some point as I said probably the last week or two. At some point, you gotta run McIntyre, Corbin, or Lashley.
Oh, I would think so. And, yeah, to me it was just kind of one of those boilerplate, you know, it's another thing that just seems standard with the WWE is that the babyface on babyface promos kind of depend upon them bickering amongst each other.
Yeah. But
and
there's just no
taking shots without actually taking shots, and it's just like, just take the shot, man.
Yeah, I mean, and in particular, these two just got nothing to say about each other. They've been apart for so long.
For 2 years.
yeah, over 2 years. Yeah. In fact, they've never really been together because Seth was still out with his knee injury when AJ debuted.
So oh.
They've even, have been, they've never been on the same show for more than a month, probably.
Yeah, that's something I didn't even think about, honestly.
So, yeah, I mean, so they've never really, I mean, I know when they said a first time ever match, our buddy at the East Coast Cast, Rich Van, was able to find an independent match or a Ring of Honor match between, couldn't have been a Ring of Honor match. They were in Ring of Honor in different eras, but, you know, an independent match that they did, you know, early in Seth's career as Tyler Black. But for all intents and purposes, they really don't have a storied history together because Styles was already in TNA full-time by the time Tyler Black was making his name in Ring of Honor.
Right. Yeah, I definitely would not count that. I mean, that's some pretty nice sleuthing on his part to find some indie match with them involved. But but the WWE still kind of does a poor job. They'll bring up international feuds, but they still don't really go into them at all because they weren't their creation. So I don't even know if that would do them any good if they did have something to lean on. I guess maybe Rollins and Styles would have a little more to complain about had they, you know, done something internationally and they could bring in the verbiage from it. But the WWE definitely does not play up those feuds, even if they've happened. I mean, I know that they'll say the words New Japan, but, you know, yeah, I don't think they do a good job of bringing up what their feuds meant to these people in the past.
Right.
Yeah, well, if there's not much meat on the bone for them, I don't think there's much meat on the bone for us to talk about. Because of my problem, I am sans beer tonight. So no Bell Time beer. I will mention that Ken and I double-fisted on our latest episode of OPA. So there will be a double review, and it's probably would have been the beer that I was going to talk about tonight, which is Sideswipes Brewing's Samurai, which is a rye IPA, which was quite good. But I would like to give a review when I have one in my hands rather than without one. So I will leave that up to OPA 1. I can't even remember what number it is. Yeah, the latest episode of OPA that'll get posted on Thursday, hopefully 129, will have that full review in it. So I'm at DeFrango11, he's at Chris Calamita, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us, and have a good night.